We had the Christian Aid sponsored ride and plant thing all week, and there are some left, and Sue and Susie have brought them for you to help yourselves and donate to Christian Aid if you would like to. Yes. Yeah, don't all go out now. There'll be no one here. So, we're going to start with a call to worship, which comes from Scripture Union notes for the day. And I'll say the bits in light type, and can you please say the bits in dark type? It's based on Psalm 116. I don't know if you recognise it. It's you, Lord. You've kept our souls from dying. It's you, Lord. You've saved our eyes from crying. It's you, Lord. You've held our feet from stumbling. It's you, Lord. It's you, Lord. It's you. We're going to sing Crown Him with Many Crowns. Well, it's a service suitable for all ages this morning. I'm not sure we have got all ages here, except in a spiritual sense as well as a physical sense. And I don't know what people of all ages made of Ineffably Sublime. I'm still wondering about that, but I think we know what it means. Let's pray. We've come as God's family. Our loving God, Jesus, called you his Father and our Father. So we come to meet you as your family. Thank you for another day with all your gifts, rain and sunshine, food and water, friends and family. In your presence, we know we don't always do the good things that we should. And we know we also do things that we shouldn't. We're sorry. But we know that you love us and forgive us. We've come to sing, to pray to you, and to learn more about you. And we ask you to bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we're still in the Easter season. We've still got the cross on the screen. We can't see it out of the empty tomb, but the cross is still there. We're still in Easter, and it's a time of resurrection. And we're thinking about Jesus' followers' experiences of him after Easter and before Pentecost, which is next week. They don't see him often in those weeks, and then they do, and then they don't again. We've got some more visual aids to look at. On the table here, we've got a loaf of bread. We'll come to that later. We've got a huge question mark. And we've got a pair of walking boots. They're quite clean, but they're on a piece of paper anyway. Can you remember what we thought about the last all-age service, or is it too long ago? What were we doing? Ian, what were we doing?
Running.
Well, we're going to slow the pace a bit down today. That's why we've got walking boots. We're going to do walking. And there's something for you to do first. We've got a pair of boots. We've got a question mark. And we've got some bread. And the question to you is, which do you prefer? Going for a walk? Having a good discussion about a difficult subject? Or having a meal with friends? And we've got the usual little clipboards, which we've made, so we're going to use them again. And just get into twos and threes with the people around you and decide between you. Who would tick going for a walk? Who would tick discussion? Who would tick having a meal with friends? And why? And also attached to the board are some little footprints. You don't need to do anything with those yet. Those will come into their own later on. Do you want me to give some out of that side? Oh, Chris, thank you. And Cordelia, thank you. What have you got there, Eleanor? Two there. Audrey, how many have you got for going for a walk? One, yeah. More at the back. Right, so yes, probably about a third of us. How many of you are
going? Three for a walk, yeah.
Two for discussion, right. How many more discussions have we got? Two, three, one there, two, three. Oh, not quite so many, yeah. Okay, and who's in favour of the bread? What do you think the three of them have got in common?
Companionship,
yeah. Companionship, that's a good word. Do you know what companion means? It means sharing bread. Yeah. Yeah. So, oh, sorry, Hilary.
Well, we couldn't really choose between all of them. We just do all of them.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. 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 Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think that's why they've been pulled together in that way. And our story today covers all three of those issues: going for a walk, having a good discussion, and having some food. So, and then finding something out. So can we first of all, us people of all ages, can we first find something? Scattered around the hall are some strange shapes. Could you collect them all? I don't know if they've been hidden in the music group. There's one here. Some behind the music group. Oh, there's a load in here. Ellen, did you want these? Pop them on the table. And maybe we can sort them out into their colours. Yeah, just sort them out in colours, thank you. Excellent. Oh, more to come. Blimey. It will be a long walk. So we've got three piles of footprints on the table. And we're going to sing a song about footprints, Marching in the Light of God.
Named Emmaus. It was about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking about everything that had happened. While they were discussing these things, a stranger came near and began to walk with them. He said,
"What are you discussing while you walk?"
The two followers stopped. Their faces were very sad. The one named Cleopas answered,
You must be the only one in Jerusalem who does not know just what happened, but just what happened there.
What are you talking about?
It is about the Jesus of Nazareth.
He was a prophet from God to all the people. He said and did many powerful things.
Our leaders and the leading priests gave him up to be sentenced to death. The Roman soldiers crucified him, nailed him to a cross.
But we were hoping that he would free the Jews.
What's more, it is now the third day since this happened.
And today, some of the other women told us some amazing things. Just early this morning, they went to the tomb, but they did not find his body there.
They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels. The angels said that Jesus was alive.
So some of our group went to the tomb too. They found it just as the women said.
But they did not see Jesus.
You are foolish and slow to realize what is true. You should believe everything the prophets said. They said that the Christ must suffer these things before he enters his glory.
And then the stranger began to explain everything that had been written about Jesus in the scriptures. He started with Moses, then he talked about what all the prophets had said about him. They came near the town of Emmaus, and the stranger acted as if he didn't plan to stop there. But they begged him.
Stay with us. It is late.
It is almost night.
So he went in to stay with them. When he sat down with them at the table, he picked up the loaf of bread. He gave thanks for the bread and broke it. Then he gave it to them. And then, suddenly, they recognized Jesus. But when they saw who he was, he disappeared from sight. They said to each other,
"When Jesus talked to us on the road, it felt like a fire burning in us."
It was exciting when he explained the true meaning of the scriptures.
So the two of them got up at once and hurried back to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 disciples and others gathered. They were saying,
"The Lord really has risen from death."
"Yes, Simon has seen him."
Then the two told everyone what had happened on the road. They talked about how they recognized Jesus when he broke the bread.
Need a bit of help for this next bit now, please. Three people anyway. Have I got three people who'll help me? Is that a hand up, Stu? No. Oh, come on. Ellen, are you going to help me? There we go. Brilliant. I want one person with a set of orange footprints. We may not need them all to get to the back of the hall. And one with a set of red footprints. And one for a bit later on with the yellow ones. So, let's think about that story. We're the disciples in Jerusalem, feeling miserable. Nothing to do. Jesus is gone. Let's go back home. So, let's have some orange and red footprints going slowly down towards Emmaus. Don't go fast because you're feeling sad. So put one down. That's right. And a red one. Yeah. Trudge, 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 trudge. But then after a bit, a stranger catches us up. And the yellow footprints go alongside ours. Not much room to go alongside, but that's good. Yeah. And he asks us questions, and then he explains to us all the things that we've been asking questions about, and we're still puzzled. But then we ask him in for a meal, and he breaks the bread, and we realize, wow, it's Jesus. We don't see him, then we do. There you go. Two footprints, then one footprint. You're probably better coming back round that way so you don't fall on the footprints. We might need to tidy them up in a bit. And the stranger said, don't you understand the scriptures say that the Christ had to suffer these things? The Christ, do you remember some months ago we did the Christ, the Messiah? So we're going to sing a song about the Messiah. There is a truth older than the ages. There is one born for our salvation. Sing that and I'll do the tidying up.
Are we doing You Are a Sovereign I Am, Mark, or not?
Which one are we doing?
The truth. There is a truth.
Ask the sheet.
No, it's fine. No, it's okay. No, really.
There is a truth older than the ages. There is a promise that is yet to come. There is one born for our salvation, Jesus. There is a Jesus. no one like you.
Communication, lack of communication on my part. I think we should sing the other one because the music group have practiced it. No, no, and we're early. We've got time.
This one is quite an old one, but you might not remember it. But hopefully you will. It's nice and simple.
Yeah, how's it going?
In fact, yes, most of the music group didn't know it, so...
The sovereign I am, your name is holy. You are the pure, spotless Lamb. Your name is holy. You are the Almighty One. Your name is holy. You are the Christ. God's own Son, your name is holy. In your name, there is mercy for sin. There is safety within. In your holy name, there is strength. There is strength to remain. To stand and stand. In your holy name, you are the sovereign I am. Your name is holy, you are the pure, spotless Lamb. Your name is holy.
So I'm going to talk a bit more about the story now, and I brought some blank footprints for those people who maybe like to do something while talking's going on, or those who aren't quite as good at concentrating. But we're all very good concentrators here. However, feel free to come and do something at the table at the front. The thing is, I heard last week about a minister in Ripon Cathedral who has tattoos on her arms. And they all illustrate important things about her faith. And she wears short sleeve shirts. And she says, these are very good conversation starters on trains, for example. She's worth listening to. I don't know if she's got tattoos on her feet, but I thought you might like to do some tattoos on your feet, or these feet. Come on, you lot. And you can come and sit on the seats at the front if you want, rather than sitting where you see my back. Eleanor, you're not going to do some... Oh, you're going to do it there, right? It's UDI in that corner. Okay.
We've got crayons here, Anna.
Oh, crayons, yeah. So here they are, plodding, trudging back to Emmaus. Very downcast. We had hoped. And they've got all kinds of questions. They don't know what it's all about. And the stranger reminds them of things that they should have remembered. He doesn't remind them of one thing that they might have remembered, because if they lived in Emmaus, they might have known that Emmaus was a famous place. If Emmaus was an ordnance survey map, it might have had two crossed swords on it. Do you know what crossed swords are on the ordnance survey map? Site of a battle. 200 years before, in the time of Judas Maccabeus and the rebellion, there was a battle there. It was a place of resistance where the rebels actually defeated an invading army. And here were these two feeling defeated. But they were going to a place where there'd been some victory. It might have been quite a difficult journey. You know, Emmaus might have been where they were, the place where they won. Judas Maccabeus won. And they'd lost, or so they thought. But then the stranger comes alongside them and talks to them and tells them what they should have known, what they should have remembered, reminds them of it. And then they say, don't go on, come in. Come in, have a meal. And he breaks the bread. And they think, wow, guess who it is? Quite amazing, a real unexpected thing. And then he'd gone. But they had, you know, he hadn't gone in here, because it inspired them to get up and go back. They might have left Jerusalem for quiet, or they might have left Jerusalem because it was dangerous. You know, what happens in Jerusalem, you get killed. Peter didn't want to be, did he? He got out of the way. But they were so inspired by recognizing Jesus that he was alive again that they hurried. They ran, or I like to think they ran, back to Jerusalem, to the place of danger. But that was the place where they were going to follow Jesus, follow their master. And that's where they were going to show their commitment to bringing out God's kingdom. And soon it'll be Pentecost. They had to wait a bit longer than we have for the power to come. But we've only got a week to wait. And remember, again, I think I keep saying this. This story was written 60 or 70 years later to inspire the followers of Jesus who were under the Roman cosh again. They were being called to resist the Roman domination, to resist the culture of that time, and to follow the way of service that Jesus has taught them. They didn't recognize the stranger, but notice how he treated them. And it's how he treated people all his life. He walked beside them. He answered their questions. Actually, he asked them questions as well, but he answered the questions. He taught and explained things. And he shared a meal. When he broke the bread, they recognized him. Think about it. What if they'd been walking along to Emmaus and this stranger had come and they'd ignored him, hadn't talked to him? What if? They might not have met the risen Jesus. What if they'd not listened to what he was saying? Oh, we've heard all that before, you know. They even listened to him, even though he told them off a bit, quite nicely, but he told them off, you foolish people. Why did you not? And if they'd not shown him hospitality, not asked him in, they definitely wouldn't have recognized him the way the story's told. So what if? And so Jesus is calling us, his followers, to walk alongside people like that, to pay them attention, engage with their questions and their problems, and offer them help and hospitality and show Jesus' love. These were what he was showing. He kept saying, this is what you do. We're resisting the empire. This is what you do. You listen, you walk with people, you offer them help. And those are the signs of God's rule on earth as Jesus described it. And if we do that, that's where we'll meet him. That's what the story's saying. That's where we'll meet him. And we've got another song now for which we need the offering. We've only got one song left, so we're going to sing There Is a Truth Older Than the Ages again.
Carry my healing in your hands,
dead as death. You carry my healing in your hands, Jesus. There is no one like you, Jesus. There is no one like you.
Let's pray. Loving God, you give us so much. And we are grateful, though we don't always seem it. We offer you a little back of the goodness you have given us. And we pray that it will be used well to bring about your kingdom here and overseas. Amen. So we're going to pray now, and have you all got your little booty footprints? You all got one. If you could get one, it would be. Oh, look, tattoos.
They were
on the clipboards. Yeah. There should be one each, yeah. So these visual aids can actually suggest prayers for us. So we might think about people on journeys, people travelling. They might be on emotional journeys or physical journeys. You might think about the refugees at the Chimney House, for example. And there are people facing questions of all sorts about their life and their future. There are political questions going on about people's lives and futures at the moment, aren't there? And food. There are people offering help and hospitality. You might think about the pantry. You might think about counsellors at Leighton. You might think about organisation working with refugees and migrants. So if you'd like to, you don't have to, if you'd like to, you might like to use that to jot something down or draw something that's particularly on your mind to pray about. And we'll pray together using the words on the screen. I'm going to suggest some areas for prayer, and we'll do a response at the end. So let's pray. Loving God, you care for your creation, and we bring you our prayers. We pray for people on journeys, people going to new homes, people going to unfamiliar places. There may be people we know in that situation. We pray for people facing danger and hostility as they travel. We pray for people on emotional journeys. There are people having to start a life alone after losing someone they love. There are people on the worrying journey of illness and medical treatment. We've been particularly asked to pray for Daphne and for David's parents who are struggling with dad's ill health and mum needing, not sure how he's going to be looked after. And there'll be people in our minds that we bring before God. So we say together, loving God, we pray your blessing on them all. Loving God, we pray your blessing on them all. We pray for people facing hard questions and choices for themselves and their families. Maybe about money, maybe about illness again. We pray for our political leaders who need to take care of all the people in their countries, and we pray for their wisdom as they answer those questions. This week we pray for aid workers and people raising funds for Christian Aid and other agencies. And we say together, loving God, we pray your blessing on them all. And we pray for people working to help and show hospitality to others. We pray for the staff and volunteers of the Sandbach Food Bank and the pantry. We pray for Christian Aid, helping people in Kenya this year to feed themselves properly. We pray for organisations caring for migrants and refugees. And we pray for doctors and nurses and counsellors caring for people who are not well. And we say together, loving God, we pray your blessing on them all. And we bring all these prayers in the name of Jesus, who walks beside us on our journey. Amen. Still travelling, our final song is One More Step. Bless us and keep us on our journey. May God lead us with love. May Christ's welcome and peace shine in our lives now and forever. Amen.
Just before you go for coffee, just something I wanted to say. Mark prayed earlier for Christian Aid, and I just think it's right that we show our love and appreciation for Mark and for Sue and for Susie, who just did, and Stu, sorry. Anybody else I missed? For such an incredible achievement in this last week. If you haven't heard yet, Mark was cycling in the Pyrenees in his garage. And believe me, these hills and these roads just get bigger and steeper every year as Mark gets younger. So I just, as a family, I just think we should just show our love and appreciation to everything he's done. And for coming here today after the week and standing up. So well done, Mark. Yeah.